Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Philip Verding, or you can also call me Hamza Ali. And this is the second recording that I've made. The first recording, I discussed why and how I became a Muslim. I had previously been a Christian. And I briefly, in that recording, I briefly touched on why I chose 12er Shia Islam over the Sunni Islam and the four madhabs, okay? And because I only had 10 minutes to talk, I wasn't able to say a lot about it. And so some people emailed me and said that, well, you really didn't study anything about what Sunnis believe. You really didn't understand. But that was the impression I gave, because I only had a minute or two to speak on the subject of why I became a Shia Muslim. And even though I love dearly my Sunni brothers and sisters, okay, so in this discussion, I'm just gonna touch on four areas that led me to become a Shia as opposed to a Sunni Muslim. The four areas will be the problems I had when I read about Sunni Hadith science, and how the traditions are looked at, and how it is decided if they're authentic or not. The second is problems I had even reading books by Sunni authors on the succession of the Prophet. And the third is fate and the justice of God. And the fourth is how the Quran talks about the family of Abraham, the family of Imran, and it follows in my mind that it would also be the family of Muhammad. Peace be upon them all. Okay. First, I'll talk about the problems I had with the Hadith science in the Sunni view. First of all, in reading about the science, it seemed to me that what the Sunni scholars were saying is that all Sahaba were true believers. And when I read the Quran, and the first translation I ever read was Muhammad Marmaduke Pickthall's translation. And of course, everyone knows he was a revert to Sunni Islam. He talks about how there were, among the early Muslims, there were hypocrites. That's what the Quran states. And if that is the case, not all the Sahaba can be true believers. Now, I know that may make some of my Sunni brothers and sisters want to put their hands over their ears, but the Quran says that there were hypocrites. Okay, and the second problem I had is that it seems like if it comes from a Sahaba, and the chain of narrators is a good chain, well, then it's a Sahih Hadith, then it's an authentic Hadith. But to me, that says the Sahaba, all of them were infallible, and we know that's not, you know, we know that couldn't be the case. Okay, that isn't even taught by Sunni scholars that all the Sahaba were infallible. Okay, that's to me just not a reasonable idea that all the Sahaba would be infallible. The same problem goes for the narrators of the chains of transmission. How do we know that all the narrators were true believers And are those narrators infallible too? Maybe they misunderstood something along the way. How do we know? The six traditional Sunni Hadith books, Bukhari, Muslim, and the others, they came on the scene 200 years and later after the fact, after the beginning of Islam. The Muwatta, which is sometimes considered a seventh book, that's earlier, okay? But still, it's 100 years later, okay? So the Hadith, to me, it seems like there needs to be a more reasonable and critical approach to the Hadith, and that all the companions of the Prophet should not be considered to be all true believers. Some of them were hypocrites. Okay, why do I say that? Because the Quran says that, not because of anything else. Okay. Now the second point is the original succession.